Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1. I'm not going to let the Pentecostal scare me away from asking the Holy Spirit to do something. Amen. Act like the Holy Spirit doesn't exist because somebody else overdoes it and messes things up doctrinally. We need God to show up and do something. If he don't breathe on his word when it comes through here, that ain't nothing going to happen. I mean, you can come in here and have fellowship, but if you're going to get something from God, he's going to have to show up and do something. And I hope he does today. Colossians chapter number 1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, and Timotheus, our brother, to the saints and faithful brethren in Christ which are at Colossae, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We give thanks to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love which ye have to all the saints. For the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, whereof ye heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel, which is coming to you as it is in all the world, and bringeth forth fruit, as it doth also in you, since the day ye heard of it, and knew the grace of God in truth. As ye also learned of Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, who is for you a faithful minister of Christ, who also declared unto us your love in the Spirit. For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, did not cease to pray for you, and to desire that ye might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God. Strengthened with all might, according to his glorious power, unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness, and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. For by him were all things created, that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. For it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell. And having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself, by him, I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven. And here Paul is, he's sending this message. I believe he's sending it from Corinth. He's sending it to the Colossians, sending it to that church. And I want to look at about seven things as we go down through here. And the first thing I want to see is the prayer. In verse number 3, he says, we give thanks to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you. Paul was always praying for the other. And you have to listen to the context. You have to understand the context of this passage to understand what prayer is. Christian prayer should really be like. In a Christian prayer, I mean, here we are, people pray. Boy, when things are on the rocks, things are going bad, we pray. Paul's prayer, if you'll pay very close attention to his prayer, it wasn't, and I'm not saying anything against it, I thank God for our prayer list, because when people get a hold of Sister Shirley, and Sister Shirley gets a hold of us, and by the grace of God, we get a hold of God, and God does things. He answers prayer. And you know, you should be able to pray without ceasing. You should be able to pray for our health and our wellness and our everything, everything we need. I mean, sometimes God will answer yay, sometimes he'll answer nay, sometimes he'll say, you know the answer before you pray. Amen. You ever pray to God and he'll go, you know better than that. Amen. But a true prayer of a true spiritual Christian, which I'm going to say Paul is the example of a spiritual Christian, he's praying for their spiritual needs. And see, that's what's lacking. That's what's missing. I'll be honest with you. I pray for this church's spiritual needs, and I pray for you all individually. But I don't necessarily always pray for each and every one of your individual spiritual needs, and I think that's where we're lacking. You know, somebody goes in the hospital or somebody has a doctor's appointment, we pray for them. Praise the Lord. We pray for them, and it's good to be praying for each other. The Bible says, bear ye one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. And that law of Christ is bearing each other's burdens like He bore our burdens on Calvary. But we can't overlook the spiritual needs of each other. Amen. We can't overlook the spiritual needs. I'm afraid sometimes if we're not careful and we're not praying for the spiritual needs, folks don't necessarily... You realize some people are on the rope spiritually? And you realize the devil has taken people out of church, out of this church, because they were on the rope spiritually? He takes people out of every church because they're on the rope spiritually. So I think we need to upgrade. Here we go. We need to reemphasize the importance of praying for people's spiritual needs. And right now, Brother Mac, he's going through a situation where he'll be home with the Lord in the near future, it looks like. And, you know, only God knows God's timing. He can do anything He wants. But we need to pray for Sister Victoria's spiritual well-being. Amen. We need to pray for Brother Jerry's spiritual well-being. We need to pray for each other's spiritual well-being because, okay, so you survive physically, you survive the storm, but how about your spiritual fitness? I mean, without spiritual guidance, direction, and protection, without spiritual prayer one toward another, we're in a mess and we're doomed. You say, what happens to these churches? We were just, Brother Terry and I were just talking about the Baskin and Robin Baptist out there, you know, got 34 different flavors on every block, you know, and you got the Free Will Baptist, you got the Southern Baptist, you got the American Baptist, you got the Independent Baptist, you got the more Independent Baptist, you got the Super Ultra Independent Baptist, you got the, you know, the only God can make an Independent Baptist the way I am Baptist, you know, and, you know, I'm just the perfect Baptist. You got all the Baptists out there with all this stuff going on, and it's because a lot of it's because of lack of spirituality. You can know a lot of things. And you can understand a lot of Bible, and you can be able to rightly divide, and you can be able to rightly call on Jesus Christ to come get us out of this dumpster, amen, and realize the rapture's coming soon, and that's great. But if you don't have a spiritual walk in this world, it's all in vain. It's all in vain. See, I preach a lot about the judgment seat of Christ because you will stand at the judgment seat of Christ. And I don't want to be the one that God says, hey, you didn't tell your people they were going to stand before me. You didn't try to get them to glorify me. And, of course, I got my own problems at the judgment seat of Christ. Don't get me wrong. But you didn't tell them this. I want to tell you everything I can tell you to get you prepared for the judgment seat of Christ. But let me tell you, I may have overlooked something very important on a lot of these messages, is to pray for each other spiritually. Paul's going to say some things here later, and we'll dig into those a little bit. But we need to pray for each other's spiritual health. We're so geared on physical things that that's all we ever pray for sometimes. I mean, sometimes we'll go a long stretch and all we pray is about carnal things. Oh, heal this person, heal that person, heal me, help me, heal my bank account, help me pay the taxes, you know, whatever. I got a bill that I can't pay. Praise the Lord, that's great stuff. But what about, hey, strengthen Brother Paul and Sister Julie that they can be a witness for Jesus Christ. Strengthen Brother Terry and Sister Nancy, Brother Jim and Sister Shirley, Brother Bill, Sister Linda, Brother Charlie and Sister Glenn. Strengthen Brother Robert for his job at work. Strengthen him so he can open his mouth boldly and proclaim the gospel. Amen. We need strength to do what God has called us to do. I mean, we can survive on praying for carnal things, if that's what you call survival. But spiritually, are we really making it? See, Paul says, I'm praying for you, and he's got a spiritual list of things, and we're going to look at that list a little bit today. But he's praying for them to be strong spiritually. Now, I understand you can't necessarily, as saved people, separate the carnal and the spiritual, because to go through the carnal things and to keep loving the Lord, you need spiritual strength. I understand that. But I just think we need to be more specific praying for people's spiritual needs and spiritual strength, and that's what we'll look at. The prayer. Look at verse 6. Which is coming to you as is in all the world and bringeth forth fruit as it doth also in you since the day ye heard of it, and knew the grace of God in truth. The prayer and the provision. You know what the provision was? The grace of God. You know how you got saved? By the grace of God. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and not of yourselves, as the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. God has provided the grace for you to get to heaven. And I don't understand it. I really, even after the last couple years, I don't understand it, but somehow God provides the grace to get through each day. It doesn't seem like it a lot of days. But then the next day, when it doesn't seem like it again, you've already got another day behind you. Because God gave the grace to make it through that day. And by the grace of God, if you can weather the storms of the devil, if you can withstand the fiery darts of the wicked, if you can put on the whole armor of God, and you can continue to pray, and continue to read your Bible, and show up in church, and praise God, and sing praises to His name, and glorify Him, and tell somebody about Jesus Christ, praise God, that's the grace of God. Because honestly, it'd be easier to just quit. Amen. But the provision is grace. You know what we need to be praying for? Praying for the brothers and sisters that God would continue to give them grace. Pray for my wife, please. We need His grace. Paul's praying and he's praying. He brings up that first thing in that provision of grace. And on Calvary, He brought the mercy and the grace. And you can't, those things are intertwined. They're inseparable. That mercy and grace that He showed on Calvary, the grace to get saved, the grace to stay in His will, the grace to end well, the grace to glorify Him for eternity. It's all grace. He provided that grace. He continues to provide that grace. We need to pray that God would continue to give each other grace. Why? Look at verse 10. That ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. The purpose. So what's the purpose? Because we're going to focus, we're going to put everything in, everything, we're going to put all of our energy. Matter of fact, we'll donate money, we're going to get Trump elected so he can fix the economy. No. We're going to get Biden elected because the orange man's bad and he's going to destroy everything. And, you know, he's going to take over and be a dictator, says the dictator. Amen? He's going to take over and be a dictator and he's going to do this and he's going to use you and abuse you and all this stuff. So that's what we got to do. We got to focus on that. No. Verse 10 says, that ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing. The purpose is to please God. And let me tell you, I don't care what the brethren say. If you decide not to vote, and you spend that day handing out tracts instead, it's not going to displease God. If you decide to go in there and vote, and you never tell anybody Jesus Christ is the Savior and how to get to heaven, God's not happy with that. I don't care who you vote for. The purpose is not to re-elect this guy or that guy or to keep that guy out. The purpose is to glorify Jesus Christ, to lift Him up. He said, if I be lifted up, will draw all men unto me. He's not being lifted up. The independent fundamental Baptist churches around the country are lifting up the orange man. Look at Trump. Look what he's going to do. You know, they go to his rallies. They'll spend $100,000 worth of junk, gas and time and energy to go to his rallies over a four-year period, and they won't go into the church house and praise God from the heart. They won't spend 35 seconds on their knees praying for a brother or sister in Christ's spiritual strength, but they'll pray that Trump gets in there so they can have more money in their wallet and they can save this country that was doomed from the beginning. Hey, look, here we are, we talk about the environmentalist and the evolutionist. How about the Baptist? How about the Bible believers? Because here we are, we say, well, they're silly, you know, they're going carbon this, carbon that, and electric cars and solar panels and wind energy and all of this stuff. They can get wind energy from the White House, amen. That'd probably power half the United States. But anyway, you got this wind energy, all this stuff. We make fun of that stuff. Then you got born-again believers, and all they want to do is save America. We got to save America. Well, I read the Bible. America's not going to be here one day. You're not going to save it. You're just as goofy as the people with the solar-powered toasters if you think you're going to save this country. Amen. Amen. The purpose is to please God. Stand at the judgment seat of Christ. Could you see that? Stand at the judgment seat of Christ. Said, I voted for Trump. What'd you do for Jesus Christ? I voted for Trump. Trump was lost. Oh, really? I thought he was saved. No, he was lost. Or Trump was saved, and he never did anything for Jesus Christ. Amen. Hope that's not the way it is, but what if it is? I voted for Trump. I was red all the way. What about the red on Calvary? What'd you do about that? I got saved. Okay, you're a steward of the good news of Jesus Christ, death, burial, and resurrection. What'd you do with that? I voted for Trump. I voted against Biden. We defeated the Democrats and had 4 years of quote-unquote fiscal responsibility. That's a joke. Economic goodness happened because I voted for Trump. That's not the purpose. That's not the purpose. The purpose is to please God by glorifying Jesus Christ, by lifting up His Word, magnifying His name, and winning people to Jesus Christ. And we need spiritual strength to do that. It doesn't take any spiritual strength to go to a Trump rally and go, yeah, orange man good. But it takes some spiritual strength to get up in the morning and tell people about Jesus Christ, death, burial, and resurrection, and how they're going to burn in hell if they don't get saved. Amen. Especially when you have preachers all over the world telling people there's no hell now. Or I think maybe we'll all be good enough. Or the fatherhood of God stuff where they just say, well, everybody's going to get saved because Jesus Christ paid everybody's sin debt on Calvary. Everybody just automatically gets saved. Well, then you got to throw the Bible away. Because the Bible says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. It doesn't say, Jesus went to Calvary, forget it, you're saved. That's ultra-Calvinism, amen? It's ridiculous. The purpose is to please God. And what pleases God? Well, it says here, for it pleased the Father that in Him should all fullness dwell. You know what pleased the Father? The Son. You know what pleases the Father? If His other children glorify the Son and magnify the fact that the Father sent His only begotten Son. Amen. The prayer, the provision, the purpose, please God. And here we go, look at verse 11. Strengthen with all might according to His glorious power and to all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness. There's the power. So where do we get the power to do that? Well, you don't get it from the coal plant. You don't get it from the wind turbine. You don't get it from the solar panel. You don't get it by plugging into your Tesla. You don't get it from the Democrats or the Republicans. You get it from the Holy Spirit of God. You get it from the Word of God. It is the Spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profiteth nothing. The words I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. You got to read your Bible. You got to read your Bible. Y'all got to, I don't know about you, we went through a phase where we kids, they're little, they got battery powered everything. Everything in the world takes batteries, right? And, you know, batteries are not cheap, so we bought the rechargeable things. We use those things so they melt, you know. We recharge those things 700 times, you know. Of course, that's not free either because we're killing the earth by doing that, right? Burning coal. But you buy those, you recharge those batteries, and you make sure your batteries are charged. You got a flashlight or a radio? Well, now I get got a dumb phone. It's always charged, I think. It's a wonder we don't walk around with car batteries on our hip charging our phones. But, well, they do have those little charging things. Little things you can take with you, portable, to plug in. So everybody's worried about their batteries, and they're worried about their power going out, and they're worried about, you know, we got a deal on some chicken, and we got like 4 bags of this chicken that was normal, like half price, right? So we got a freezer full of chicken. Bill, don't even think about it. I know you're thinking I'll be over at noon, right? But I won't be there. I'm going to the nursing home. We got a freezer full of chicken, and you know what? Every time that freezer gets close to full, I'm thinking, well, the power goes out. What are we going to do? We can't eat all that. What are we going to do with it? Ain't no snow to bury it in. It's summer. What are you going to do with it? I guess feed it to the Amish. They'll eat it. I don't know. I don't know what we're going to do with it. But every time the freezer gets full, I think, what are we going to do if the power goes out? Amen? I mean, you're kept by the power of God to salvation. Praise the Lord for that. But if you're going to live for Jesus Christ, you're going to live in His power. What are you going to do if the power goes out? Nothing for Jesus Christ. Amen. What's going to happen? You get to the judgment seat of Christ and found out you did a few things in your own power. Look at me, look at me. And no rewards. If you're going to get rewards at the judgment seat of Christ, you're going to do it by having the power of God on your life. And I'm not talking about speaking in tongues. I'm not talking about raising the dead. I'm not talking about playing with rattlesnakes. I'm not talking about drinking Drano. What I'm talking about is asking God to fill you and use you and to use you to glorify Him and to read that book. Again, I want the Spirit. I want the Spirit. Be filled with the Spirit. Again, it is the Spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profiteth nothing. The words I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. Jesus Christ said the Bible is a spiritual entity. It is a quickening book. It is a quick and powerful. It's alive. You don't believe, the world doesn't believe that anymore. You say, well, I believe it, then read it. Amen. Read it. Brother Terry, I was talking to Brother Terry a little bit ago, and he was talking about, What interested me at first, the Baptists, they were really serious about reading their Bible. Baptists used to be really serious about reading their Bible. I mean, that was right next to coffee and donuts, amen? May have been edged to coffee and donuts out. The Baptists used to be serious about reading their Bible. You know why God used the Baptists over the years so much? Because they read their Bible. You know what's hard to do? It's hard to enslave people that read the Bible. It's hard to deceive people that read the Bible. It's hard to believe people don't read the Bible. Do I read it enough? No. Got to read it every day. Read it every day for, I don't know, 20-some years. You know what he'll do with it? His word? I mean, there's power. It's quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. You know what else he'll do? He'll impart grace with his word. He'll impart strength with his word. He'll impart protection with his word. I didn't think this through and get a bunch of the same letters for you, but that's what he'll do. You know what else he can do with his word? He can impart and will impart peace with his word. That's why I say, and you guys probably think I'm joking when I say this, but I'm really not. If I had to give up my guns or my Bible, I'd keep the Bible. I mean it. I'll probably put this on the air because I really don't care anymore, but they come after the guns, that depends what day I'm having. Probably going to be a bad day for me and a couple other people. Be a great day after that for me. I know where I'm going. But if I had to choose between guns and Bible, I'm taking the Bible. You can't defeat the devil with a gun. You don't get saved by guns. Amen. You don't get spiritual strength through a gun. And I'm not against taking care of yourself. And so, you know, I believe that it's biblical to defend you and your family against invaders or people that want to do you harm. I believe that. But people, you know, what we do is we say, well, I'm going to get bullets, I'm going to get a gun. And I'm not against that. I think everybody ought to have a stockpile, amen? Praise the Lord. You ought to have a room full of ammunition, and you ought to be able to use it. Amen. Just in case the Lord tarries and we keep getting more crime, more crime, more crime. But I really believe you ought to be reading your Bible. Amen? I mean, if nothing else, you could plink. You had a whole room full of ammunition, and you knew how to, you could plink, shoot cans with it. Amen? That'd be fun. So, I'm not talking about overthrowing the government. I'm talking about you have a spiritual, God-given right to protect your family. Amen? But you know the other side of that coin is, if you decide that you don't want a gun, and you're just going to trust God in the Bible? That's better than having a gun and not trusting God in the Bible. Amen? But the power doesn't come from Smith & Wesson. The power doesn't come from Ruger. The power doesn't come from Springfield Armory. The power comes from the Word of Jesus Christ. He said, it is a spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profiteth nothing. The words I speak in you, they are spirit, and they are life. Hey, the reason you're saved today is because God spoke His Word. Amen. So I just don't believe that. Well, I don't care if you believe it or not. I got a Bible right there. It says the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, born of not of the corruptible seed, but incorruptible seed. Seed of God, seed is the Word of God. I believe it. Right here it is. Talking about the sower and the seed. And that seed is the Word of God. The Word of God, the Word of God, the Word of God, the Word of God. Where's the power come from? It comes from the Word of God. Christians run around here going, why is this place a mess? Because people don't read their Bible. I mean, I'll be transparent. I'm a transparent pastor with you as much as I can be. I haven't handed out near as many tracts in the last few months as I used to, but I haven't quit. I don't want to quit. What else do we have? What else do we have? Why are we here? We're not just here to pray for each other. We're here to put some feet on those prayers that we're putting on each other. Amen. And again, don't think that I'm slighting praying for physical issues. I'm just saying there's a spiritual part that we overlook. The power of God. The devil's used the charismatic crowd, some really goofed up Bible believers, to just run away from the Holy Spirit and act like the Holy Spirit doesn't exist. It's part of the Trinity, by the way. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Without the Holy Spirit, you couldn't be saved, you couldn't stay saved, and you couldn't do anything saved people do or are supposed to do. The power of God. So I'd like to have the power. I don't always want the power. Sometimes I just want to be carnal. Well, that brings us to 12 through 14. Giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sin. We talk about the prayer. We talk about that provision of grace. We talk about the purpose to please God. We talk about the power from God, His Holy Spirit indwelling and using us, working through us. And now we look at the price that was paid so you could have that. And it was the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Why should I live for God? Because Jesus Christ died for you. We don't get it anymore. Even the folks, and I'm not knocking the missionaries, but I'm thinking even the folks that get it don't get it like they used to. And I hope God doesn't get upset with me about this, but I'm going to say it anyway. I hope He doesn't. I pray He doesn't. I believe this is true, and I believe I'm going to say something that's not going to upset Him. But a lot of times we'll have missionaries that are in deputation until they're guaranteed $7,000 a month before they leave the country. You realize most of the missionaries you read about, the old school missionaries, a lot of them left millions of dollars, sold it, gave it away, invested in Bibles. They left and went to other countries with nothing. They left careers and family and finances and went to another place to eat dirt, to live like what you would call an animal over there. As an American, you'd call it animal living. Eating bugs, living in dirt huts. Why? Because they realized the price that was paid. I'm not begrudging them. I don't want to go to another country. If the Lord sent me another country, I'd have went. But I think Christianity's full, so-called Christianity's full of a lot of ifs and buts. If you'd just do this, Lord, I'd do that. I was going to do that, but you did this. Struggle with that one. But the truth is, He already paid the price. And if you're saved by the grace of God through the blood of Jesus Christ, think about the price. Think about the price that was paid. Not only did He pay the price, He's offering you the power to fulfill your purpose and the provision to do it. His blood. Good news, the death, burial, and resurrection. But what did God go through to present that good news? He did it for you. He did it for us. 15 through 18, who is the image of who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature? For by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things are created by him and for him, and he is before all things, and by him all things consist. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. That's what it boils down to right there. The preeminence. The preeminence. I struggle with it just like you do. My flesh wants to rise up and say, look at me sometimes, look at me. Don't we? Look at me, look at me. And if you get to where you can get that flesh under control of the spirit a little bit, something will happen and you go, well, at least I'm not doing what they're doing. So you feel better about yourself. And the next thing you know, you're fighting to keep yourself where you belong again. But the preeminence is supposed to go to Jesus Christ. The Bible-believing crowd 50 years ago, 60 years ago, 30 years ago, they made fun of a lot of preachers. Jack Hiles, other preachers like that, because they were doctors. They called them Dr. Hiles, Dr. this, Dr. that. And they made fun of them. And now everybody's got to have a degree. Oh, we don't want a crystal cathedral. We don't want this. And we don't need a man. No, all we need is a... I always want to be called a doctor. The preeminence goes to Jesus Christ. Pastor Peon here, amen? Nobody. If I drew my last breath, fell over dead on this floor right now, praise the Lord, sing happy songs about me being in heaven, and go on, find somebody else. Find somebody that's going to put the preeminence where it belongs. It's Jesus Christ. It's Jesus Christ. You know what people don't do anymore? They're not willing to say, I'll serve you no matter what. If I'll serve you. If this, or I'll serve you. But how about no matter what? I get a bad report from the doctor, I still want to try to serve you, Lord. I want to try to glorify you. My life is yours. I belong to you. Everything I have belongs to you. And if I have nothing, I still have everything in salvation through Jesus Christ. Because of Him. The preeminence. Preeminence. I'll wrap this up here. So I got Bill thinking about chicken a little bit ago. Now we're all messed up. That's why I struggle with the... I'm not non-denominational. I'm a Baptist. I believe what the Baptists believed 200 years ago, 100 years ago. But I struggle with the... I'm a Baptist. I struggle with that. I don't... What church you go to? What kind of church is it? We're Bible-believing Baptist. I put a Bible-believing in there because I want them to know we're not the Baptists down the road that don't believe the Bible. I believe the preeminence belongs on the Word of God. The Bible and the Word that became flesh and dwelt among us. And that's what we're reading right here. He is the head of the church. Or He is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things He might have the preeminence. See, that's what we're talking about with this hyperdispensationalism. What they're doing is they're taking the preeminence from Jesus Christ and putting it on Paul. Now, Paul's our pattern. You know what Paul did? He spent his life glorifying Jesus Christ. Paul didn't say, well, you don't understand, I'm Dr. Paul. He said, well, you don't understand. I'm in this camp. I believe this camp's beliefs. I believe that camp's beliefs. I preach Paul Wills. Now Paul said, you know, chop my head off, and I'm gonna tell you about Jesus Christ. I'll tell you what He done for me. I was on the wrong side. I was persecuting the Christians. I was a murderer of the Christians, and the light shone down around about me, and the road to Damascus, and Jesus Christ saved me, and I was headed to hell, and then an instant later, I was on my way to heaven because of the blood of Jesus Christ. He could do the same thing for you. And you know what they were saying? Thou almost persuadest me to be a Christian. You know what I think a lot of times? Born-again believers are so goofed up and so proud that most people are saying, thou persuadest me to not be a Christian. Think about that. You ever talk to somebody and tell them about Jesus Christ and they say, Well, I believe God. They don't want to talk about Jesus Christ. They don't want to talk about reading the Bible or anything. But I believe there's a God. I'm not an atheist. And I don't go to church because... You ever heard that? If you invite people to church, you're going to hear that. I don't go to church because the old preacher had an affair with the secretary. Oh, I didn't go to church because I sat in that same seat 45 years, and I come in one day and little crippled lady sitting in my chair, and I couldn't kick her out of it, and I was mad. I won't go to church because they changed the parking lot, and they striped it away. I didn't like it. I didn't like the way they striped it the second time. Are you kidding me? I'm not, you think I'm joking. But y'all probably heard some of this stuff. Well, you know, they put new carpet in, and they voted to do it a different way than I did. What in the world were you going there for anyway? Are you the carpet salesman? What is the deal? Why were you going to church to start with? I had somebody say, well, the preacher didn't pray my prayer request. I don't even know where I'm at half the time. I come in here, and the devil's riding on my back, kicking me in the rear end. I'm trying to preach a message, and somebody says, I got 550 prayer requests. I'm writing them down, and sometimes I don't get them all. That's why you're here. You guys ought to know I'm a mess and fill in for me on the blanks. Amen? I've had people say, he just didn't pray the request I prayed for him. I wonder how many times that person prayed for me. Amen. And I'm like, you know, I'm sorry. But usually it's too late. Usually, like, I'm down the road. They're looking for a reason. They found a reason. They can hang it on me. Okay? I told you before you voted on me, I was a bozo. Amen? Good night. It's not on. It's on you. No, but I'm talking about this nitpicking. But people tell you, I don't go to church because I used to go. And sometimes there's a legitimate reason not to go back to that church. There really is, you know. It's things that go on among human beings. So whether it's a church house or not, there are reasons to not go back to some place. You know. But eventually, a lot of those folks that will never go back to church, they'll go back to a church that has Super Bowl parties and no Bible. And they can drink beer with the preacher. I eat chicken with you, but I ain't drinking beer with you. Amen. I still believe you win people to Jesus Christ through the power of God, not the power of Budweiser. Amen. I still believe it's the preaching of the gospel. Not to pretend and be like the world. Come out from among you, saith the Lord, and be separate, saith the Lord, touch not the unclean thing. The preeminence should be Jesus Christ. If God's going to do anything here, I'm fine. I'm fine with it. You know, I'm resigned to the fact that I don't want 300 people in our church. I'm not saying if God does that, he does it, but I'm not looking for it. 40 or 50 keep you busy. But what I'm saying is if the Lord allows us to build a one-level building and we 30, 40, 50, 60 people, and that's what we run, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. But he has to have the preeminence. I feel kind of bad about saying this. I'm not trying to put words in your mouth, but when you say you ought to come to our church ought to be a church of friendly people that love each other, that pray for each other. You ought to have somebody teaching you the Bible and preaching the Bible to you. But the main reason, you got to come to my church because we lift up Jesus Christ. We believe the book. We're trying to do right by the book and Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is everything. The Word of God is everything. That should be the reason. And see, here's the thing. If you invite people to church, say, we have fellowship dinners and stuff, invite them. We'll preach at them and praise God. If they want to come back, and they come back, and we get members that way, whatever. But if the only reason they've got to come and the only reason people ever show up is they're not going to show up unless there's a dinner, I mean, if you tell them we believe the book and we're lifting up Jesus Christ and we just want to live for him and we want to glorify him and try to reach others, we just want to be a blessing to the cause of Jesus Christ. And people show up for that. You're going to find out some solid people will eventually show up to fill the pews that want to bring Jesus Christ as the forefront of everything. And I'm not saying God doesn't use the other things. We have fellowship dinners. Invite people in. But don't wait for the fellowship dinner. Amen? Invite them in. You know what people need to hear? They need to hear a message on the preeminence of Jesus Christ. Sometimes I'm up here preaching and thinking, Lord, forgive me. What a mess. I'm just a bozo. And then he'll hit on something like the preeminence of Jesus Christ, and I'm like, man, everybody in the world needs to hear this. I wish we had a huge audience. I wish the whole world I don't care who it is, the Pope, the Muslims, I don't care who it is. I wish they could hear about the preeminence of Jesus Christ from the Word of God. Amen. He should have the preeminence. Look at 19 and 20. For it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell, and having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself, by him, I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven. We talked about the prayer, the provision, the purpose, the power, the price, his preeminence. Now we're talking about that peace. Right here, verse 20 is what the world's looking for. Verse 20 is what the world's looking for. And having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself, by him I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven, the world's looking for peace. You know what the single mom raising four or five kids, is that, you know what she's looking for? Peace. You know what the divorced dad that the wife ran off and they're fighting over the kids, you know what they're looking for? Peace. You know what the drunkard's looking for? Peace. You know what the whoremonger's looking for? Peace. You know what the alcoholics, the dope heads, all these folks, the Muslims, you know what they're really looking for? Peace. They can't find it, so they think they're going to get it in eternity. And the answer's right here. You know what the politicians really need? You know what all these warmongers and all these people, they're talking about, we're going to beat people into submission until we have peace? What they need is peace right here. The only peace, the true peace, comes from the Prince of Peace. And having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself, that's what people are looking for, and they don't know it. Why don't they know it? Because we're not telling them. I just got to talk to a guy. Guys, he backs up in the yard over there at the house. He's got his stuff unloaded all over the place, and that ladder up out there. I didn't know if he's taking stuff off that house and putting it on the weather. I don't know what he's doing over there. First thing I thought was, what are you doing backing in our grass? I cut that grass. You'll have ruts in there. And I'm thinking, the Lord just gave me a chance to witness this guy. Go over and talk to him, invite him to church. I say, what are you doing? You working hard today? Oh, I'm just putting in a door. I said, well, we own this. You ain't bothering us a bit. I just want to talk to you about the Lord. So what if he leaves ruts in there and busts the sewer line? He just got the gospel of Jesus Christ handed to him. I don't want that. Lord, please, don't let him bust it. We don't need any more problems over there. But we're just messed up. I mean, our first thought is, what am I going to have to do? What are we going to have to pay if this bozo backs over that and does this and tears this up? And the Lord's like, well, wait a minute, what about me? I'm just giving you another chance to lift me up to a lost and dying sinner. Guilty, Lord. I hate it when the Lord works me over right before church service. Especially when I got to preach. Amen. There the guy is over there. We talked for a while. Hand him a tract, say, come visit us sometime. Maybe never will. Okay. That's between him and the Lord. But what was between me and the Lord was whether or not I was going to get upset and be a fool, or actually listen to the Holy Spirit of God and give the guy a Bible tract. Peace. I mean, think about it. I go over. What are you doing back in our grass, you fool? I can't believe it. Is there a nail in here and I get a lawnmower flat? You're going to hear from my lawyer. Amen. Did you have permission to park in this yard? Oh, let me tell you about Jesus. Oh, that's going to work real good, isn't it? Amen. Let me tell you about, after I eviscerate you and call you a name, let me tell you about the Prince of Peace. That peace you're looking for, we have it. And he's like, yeah, obvious. Obviously you have it. Amen? See, they're none of us super spiritual. We just have to be able to realize sometimes on the fly that we're not going the right direction. The Holy Spirit's trying to redirect us. Amen? And instead of, can't believe you cut me off. Hey, hallelujah, praise the Lord. Read my bumper sticker. Hope you get saved. Well, you'd look like a fool. You don't look like a fool doing this down the road? It's all right if you look like a fool for the flesh. Right? Lord forbid we be a fool for the cause of Christ. And really, you're a fool if you don't live for the cause of Christ. The prayer, the provision of grace, the purpose of pleasing God, the power to do it through God, His Word, the price, His blood, the preeminence He deserves, and the peace that only He can give. I don't know, what are you going to do? You going to lay the flesh down and live for God, or are you going to keep living for the flesh? You say, well, I do pretty good. No, we could do better. We could do better because it's not about us. It's about Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ made it all about you on Calvary. And every once in a while, if we have a good day, we'll make it about Him, right? We're a mess. It's all about Him. Purpose. To glorify God. Glorify God. Come out of your comfort zone. Hand that person, the one that's hardest to witness to, the one that ties your guts in a knot when you think about telling them about the Lord, the one that's already spat in your face or ridiculed you, and say, look, this has been on my heart a lot lately. I got a Bible track I want to give you this. Please read this. I don't care what you think about me, but I worry about you. I don't care about your soul. I don't want you to die and go to hell. You know, I mean, give Him the preeminence. Give Him the preeminence. You realize one day, if you give Him the preeminence, you'll stand at the judgment seat of Christ, and I believe that He will give you rewards that will pass through the fire that made it, that will exist forever. And I believe somehow there's going to be some eternal gauge of whether or not you love Jesus Christ on this earth. I believe there is. I don't know how to, I'm not going to give you definite boundaries on that, or I just believe somehow people are going to know. I don't think people are going to look at people like D.L. Moody the same way they look at Stephen Anderson at splitting churches on the internet. Okay, they're both saved, but one of them done a lot for the cause of Christ, and one of them is destroying churches. Amen? I think people are going, D.L. Moody, look at the way he glorifies God even up here. He's got a better glorifier than I have. Amen? Well, you understood something. The purpose was to give Jesus Christ the preeminence. And that's the purpose for us. Father, we love You and thank You for the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Help us to lift You up. Help us.